For September the 14th, 2018, we talk about Spider-Man, Curious AI, and we ask you what your favorite modern local multiplayer game is. Welcome to Level 257. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, Dennis and David. Last time we recorded, you guys were together, but we're not on the show.
Yeah, our fight to the death ended in a draw, surprisingly.
It is still continuing.
Which is good, because otherwise that would have, you know, dramatically increased the amount of three plays.
Yeah, and poor Jala. Oh, I know she likes being on, but every week. Yeah.
Keep him talking, guys. I'm triangulating his positions.
Yeah, I do kind of like the idea that we are somehow like fighting to the death while recording the podcast.
I mean, we kind of, when we were hanging out, we kind of did fight to the death, but we'll get into that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, by playing a board game of some kind.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, sorry, I didn't mean to get
to explain the joke.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. Yeah, but you two doing good? How's David, how are you getting settled in?
Really good, actually. I ended up finding a really nice place. You know, being New York, it's super small, a little bit expensive, but I managed to get a corner unit that has almost like a panoramic view of the, you know, surrounding buildings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where it's kind of nice, because for a lot of people it would be a really crappy room because it's literally just one room, but for me, you know, not having a family or anything, it's really, really nice, exactly what I'm looking for. So yeah, that's been fun. Although getting, figuring out how to, for example, get actual furniture in the city has been interesting. So I ended up, my desk and chair, I salvaged. They were being thrown out by the New York or the American Stock Exchange.
Okay.
So I just kind of pick them up off the side of the road and lug them back to the apartment.
I'm sure through some kind of weird kickback, some of your tax money bought that, so you're fine.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That was totally my feeling on it.
I'm also sure that you were not the most strange person walking on the road there, too.
Yeah, it's it's been really interesting. Actually, in terms of, not strange, I don't mean it that way, but in terms of, like, you know, different like cultural stuff. What's been recently is I don't know that much about Judaism, but I guess it's Rosh Hashanah now.
Okay.
And so there's been a lot of what I think are like Orthodox Jewish people around.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to someday look as badass as the little 6-year-olds in their like black suits and fedoras.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I lived in a building that was almost entirely peopled by Orthodox Jews, and it was fascinating because we had this courtyard and the kids just wore this old-timey stuff all the time while they were playing like old-timey games. It was like a little pocket of like time distortion in the middle of my building. Mm-hmm. You know, when you walk down and say hi to people and help them carry their groceries up or whatever, but it's like, wow, this is very different than what I am used to living in white bread ass Ohio.
yeah, it's definitely a different culture. I think my other favorite random thing I've seen on the street is I was out just walking around, fairly late, you know, past when things were pretty much closed up, but for some reason there's one of the like street food vendors stroll out, and at some point decide he did have a customer, so we just started blaring like I think it's like Middle Eastern music.
Nice.
Just in the middle of Wall Street.
Yeah.
But well, just that, you know, it's kind of a fun place.
That is very cool. Yeah, well, you have to keep us apprised of your travails.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Dennis, you've been traveling a lot.
I have. I was in the same city for my 7-year anniversary, which was a really good time.
Oh, no, don't say 7 years. Oh, no.
Right, yeah.
We will soon be dust. Okay, 7 years. Okay.
We got as far up as Harlem. We went all the way down to Staten Island. And basically just did every single thing possible to do in the city over the course of 4 days. Hmm. I think we averaged about 10 miles a day walking.
Mm-hmm.
So we got around.
Nice.
We saw a Broadway show. We saw a little mini theater thing in Greenwich Village. We ate in Hell's Kitchen a couple times. We ate like a super fancy meal in the financial district. Like we did everything.
Nice.
You learned how Central Park works?
Yeah, I did.
Is there something? I've been there a few times. What's different about the way that works?
I was referencing the fact that like Central Park, if you drive the ride or whatever a bike the long ways of it, it stretches at least a third to a half of Manhattan.
Yeah,
it's like the small intestine.
When I was planning to meet David the day before, Jen and I had done Central Park. Was it earlier that day? It might have been earlier that day we did Central Park. And in my mind, I was like, oh, David is as far from me, because where we were meeting, about the length of Central Park. What I'd forgotten is I had done a whole bike ride just to get to Central Park.
Right.
And so in my mind, the trip was like just on the edge of what I would bike for. And it was a nice day out. And I'm like, all right, I'll bike it. And then, 30 minutes into a 45-minute bike ride, I realized I made a horrible mistake. I showed up probably like 20 minutes late and burnt to a crisp and really thirsty.
I imagine. Yeah.
It was cool biking through the city. So that day I put in about 20 miles on a bike plus whatever we did on foot.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was intense. So it kind of funny, like go on vacation, I got way more exercise than I normally do.
You're doing this wrong.
Yeah. So then I did the polar opposite, which is I went to Wichita, Kansas, which is I think 200,000 people ish.
Right.
So maybe a tenth the size of greater Cincinnati.
To ask yourself is why did you go to Wichita, Kansas?
They literally had to pay me to go there. it was for a work trip. But it's nice. We found good places to eat and we did not get run over by any particularly nasty weather. The cool thing was the offsite we did was in a coffee shop, and the coffee shop had a kiosk, which was a story printer from the local library. And literally you walk up to it and it has three buttons, a 1-minute story, a 3-minute story, or a 5-minute story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How much time you want to spend reading. And it prints out a short story for you on like a receipt.
Actually one of my bucket list items for San Francisco, like the same artist, they've installed this like three places around the country. And that was one of my bucket list items in San Francisco that I unfortunately didn't get to, but that's really cool.
Yeah, well, it's in the Reverie Roastery in Wichita. So that was really cool. And the stories I got were good. One of them was the Charge of the Light Brigade. So, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it was a good trip overall.
See, I feel like in Wichita, Kansas, I just feel like, this machine is broken. No matter what I put, I just get the Grapes of Wrath over and over again.
That's so sad.
5-minute sections of the Grapes of Wrath. Ooh. I was never brave enough to push the 5-minute button because 3 minutes was like a really long receipt. Like it was, checking out of Costco after you've set yourself up for the month long. So 5 minutes, I can only imagine you'd have to fold it over like toilet paper.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was me. had a good time the entire time though.
Cool. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing pretty okay. We just had a new roommate move in a day or two ago, and we had a dog move out, but now we're taking care of it because our old roommate went on vacation, so not much has changed.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This just sounds like a recipe for a very confused dog.
Yeah. The hammer is going to fall in a day or two when he goes back home for good.
Clean break.
Yeah.
I feel like you've got a very unique window for some very interesting social experiments with a new roommate coming in. Like, that doesn't happen often.
Mm. Yeah. It's a weird situation because I've talked to my other roommate, the one who I've lived with for 3 years, and we're like, okay, so, like, we're just like, how soon are we going to like act like ourselves around the new person? You know, like how soon do you walk out in boxers and make coffee in the morning? You know,
yeah. No, it's TTU, time to underwear.
Yeah.
Oh, there should be just some kind of like test, like just like a series of color buttons that he has to press every morning to leave his room. And you know, like, you know, maybe he presses them and then it, like every time it unlocks, but the one time where he has discerned the signals of the house enough to know which order to press the buttons, then immediately, like, you guys get the signal, your phones ring at the same time and you get like the message
Simon Says.
yeah exactly, like, you know, he'll figure it out, he'll know, and when he does, well, then that's when the pants come off.
See, I've been having to get used to living someplace where I have neighbors that in adjacent buildings that can see in my window.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Lean into it.
So
no, literally.
Yeah, I mean, I can literally see, sorry, I leaned away from the mic, at least two of my neighbors right now.
Mm.
Do you guys not have blinds, or?
I do, but like most of the time, you know, I want that natural light, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Why would I deprive them of this?
Remember, like,
body.
Not walk out of my shower naked.
Yeah.
Which, if it's all one room, man, you are in dire straits.
Oh no.
Yeah, it kind of becomes like a you know, Metal Gear Solid type thing. You know, you just start doing the diving rolls.
you always make sure you have something to break line of sight.
Exactly.
Somebody there. Yeah.
It's like the Simpsons movie.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like the skateboard thing with Bart Swingus. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or it's a deal like an Austin Powers kind of thing, like somebody holds up two pineapples. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cole, what's up with you, man?
Oh, so I'm going to be closing on a house this Friday, God willing, and the creek don't rise. So that is exciting. We had a bit of a close call with the appraisal that we had to do some renegotiating around. However, it is still resulting in me getting a hold of a home. I will truly celebrate once I have the keys in my hand and the money has left my account. But...
Not many people celebrate when the money leaves their account.
but then it's no backsies. Like, the bank can't come in and say, ah, yes, you get the orange juice with no calcium, or with no pulp and calcium, denied. Like, well, but my bones. They just come and they take
away. Sorry.
Given that today is
the 10-year anniversary of the mortgage crisis, I feel obligated to say you are never safe from the banks.
Okay, this is true. Is it really the 10-year anniversary? Yeah.
Yep.
What was the instigating event on 9/10? I forget. Oh, for Bear Stearns going down?
Republicans?
Well, yeah, okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to having a home and, you know, all of the attendant joys of obligation that come with that. However, I also am looking forward to not having all of my shit in boxes, you know. It's going to be nice not to have everything in boxes and bags and things. And you know what? Bad on me for packing up so early. However, I needed something to do because I was really anxious about this process.
And it gave you something else to be anxious about.
Yep.
I observed earlier before you were on the line that this is probably the closest your apartment and Cole's apartment have looked to each other in a long time.
Yeah,
probably true.
We just happen to be passing in the same rain and just very similar phases. Yeah, in the habitation process. But yeah, I'm excited about that. Programming note, we will be back next week, but the week after that, I'm not going to be around to do a recording, or I will, but my office probably won't be set up then. So yeah.
Understandable.
Yep.
But in 3 weeks, we have the sweet new setup.
Yes. Yes. So, I think that is all of the banter. We have all checked in. So why don't we do the usual kind of show? The brief, the multiplayer, and the grind, and we're going to get started with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. There are some announcements and stuff from TGS that we want to talk about, but I want to get the bummer out of the way quick, so that way we don't
rip the bummer.
Yeah, let's rip the bummer. So that way we don't end on it and go into the multiplayer being all wah. So Spider-Man came out here recently. The new web-slinging, go all around New York City game. I've seen people, particularly Allison, playing this and sharing stuff on Twitter. It looks really neat. But it is home to possibly the saddest Easter egg of all time. If this is true. So that's a big caveat. I'm not entirely sure that this is not just a hoax, but who knows? Everybody is trying to run game, right? And also weird stuff happens that nobody would ever think is real, but actually is. Here's the actual story. So back in April, a man named Tyler Schultz, he got in contact with Insomniac. Insomniac Games, the team that made the new Spider-Man game, and said, "Hey, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend. I would love if I could do it through the game. Could you work in the phrase, Maddie, will you marry me, somewhere into the game?" Insomniac said, "Yeah, well, can you wait until the launch day, right?" And he said, "Well, we had 5 years in April, so she'll probably be around in September. The problem is that by the time Spider-Man came out here this past week, in fact, like very shortly before it, Tyler's girlfriend dumped him and actually left him for Tyler's brother."
Ta-da!
So that sucks if it's true. Something that makes me a little bit not weirded out by this, but makes me adds to my theory that maybe this is not true, is that Tyler then went on to record a YouTube video kind of explaining the situation. You know, and there are some quotes that came out from around it. However, that YouTube video is not up right now. Now, the possibility is he was just getting harassed about that, and that's not cool. Like, he just drew too much attention to himself, and that was a real bummer of people being dipshits on the internet. However, somebody from Insomniac said, "Oh, well, we are really sorry about that. Do you want us to change the sign in a patch?" So maybe that sign is going to go away. So it is not a permanent testament to sadness.
Yeah, it looks like his commentary was like, no, keep it in. Maybe someone will get married off of it. Which is very, very nonchalant. Which, you know, a lot can happen in, what, a year?
Yeah.
Or a couple months?
I mean, so, Maddie might come back. You never know.
I meant more a good relationship can go south that fast. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, so it could be that he had time to get like over the WTF-ness of it. Although if it really was like 2 or 3 weeks beforehand, probably not dealing with it.
Yeah.
If he's that nonchalant about it.
Maybe. His story is that the whole the message being in the game helped him get over the breakup. I don't know if that's how that works. But I was sad, you know, who knows?
Yeah,
the human,
you know,
mind is weird.
Three weeks is long enough to go all cask of Amontillado on your brother.
Yeah, that sucks. Man, for your brother. Dirty but, pool, mister. Yeah.
So this is just kind of grand, but I've been watching you know, some of the Let's Plays of this, you know, hoping to see places I recognize. And it looks like a really cool game, but I do have to say, like, none of the crimes I've seen in the any of the Let's Plays so far, even without Spider-Man, would have any hope of succeeding.
a lot of really basic small ball crime going on?
No, actually more the opposite. It's like it enters with opens up with like five guys in like bulletproof vests and like machine guns like shooting up Times Square. It's like, you do realize that the NYPD literally has 35,000 officers, many of whom are snipers.
Yeah, like, the NYPD is basically a branch of the military. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but that is just kind of the world we live in that has kind of made fiction like this a little bit unsatisfying.
No,
well, and it's like walking around. It's like even if any of this, like, what was your getaway plan? You do realize Manhattan's an island.
This is the, you know what they wanted? They just wanted Spider-Man to come and rough them up so they could get on the news. It's like if you were going to like propose to your girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Do you have any final words before the governor issues the writ of execution? Maddie, will you marry me? Oh, well. So. Yeah. I have no idea. I need to do a little bit more investigation to see if this guy, like, man, just how bad would this be if this guy was just trying to like get attention for his YouTube channel or something? Like that would suck.
Yeah, it's the weird internet dilemma of like, you can't prove that it was that, so don't be insensitive if it's real and he's heartbroken, but at the same time it reeks of, you know, underhandedness. So
yeah.
I'm thinking more the real victim here is all of the guys dating Maddie's that inadvertently just proposed.
Oh no. a shotgun wedding and J. Jonah Jameson's holding the gun.
And he wants wedding pictures.
This I haven't thought about this in forever. It makes me think of the College Humor prank war series back when I watched College Humor. One friend literally bought a baseball, like, you know, billboard ad proposing to the girlfriend, or, you know, as if he was his friend proposing to his friend's girlfriend.
Oh,
and the worst part was so he had no idea it was coming. She said yes to him. And he's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dennis, what is this new suspiciously Monster Hunter-esque game that is coming?
Yeah, you stole my thunder. Yeah, this is just like so many genres are cashing in on the Battle Royale, or so many games are cashing in on the Battle Royale genre. But it looks like at least one is jumping on that Monster Hunter tip. So a game called Project Awakening, and it's not clear if that's the actual title or if that's just a code name so far. If you go to the website, like, it's up there like it is the actual name.
Yeah, we thought Octopath Traveler was a working title.
Yeah, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Will never be as bad as Story's Path of Destinies.
But, you know, they just showed off a debut trailer for Project Awakening. And it's got a very Monster Hunter-esque setup with, you know, a lone soldier kind of hiking through the woods, following some tracks and snapped branches and stuff, and then squaring off against a monster, seemingly like a dragon lizard kind of deal, that is easily four times his size. So, you know, notable because it really cued all the best parts of that fight from Shadow of the Colossus. I want to say it's either four or five. That's a lizard. Ben, you might remember better than me, but you're kind of in a coliseum.
Yeah.
And you've got to, you know, it chases you up the walls, and you've kind of got to shoot its
feet. The gecko thing.
Yeah, the gecko thing.
Yeah, the tail and the pail.
I'm going to guess sixth.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'll look it up.
It, you know, reminiscent of that fight in terms of being kind of chased along some ruins, and the size comparison holds. Really cool to see that. And if it's got anything in common with Shadow of the Colossus or with Monster Hunter, I view that as a good thing. There's some kind of, you know, pump you up speech about the white wolves arriving and all that stuff. My guess is it's the order of knights that you're playing as, or at least the knight that you're playing as. Other theories are that it is the dragons, or there is something at the very end of the video showing several Colossus-like figures on the horizon through kind of a cloud of ash.
Hmm.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm just hoping for the doggo equivalent of a palico.
A dolico? Doggo? You know, I'm not even going to try.
Papico.
Yeah.
Come on. It's like you're not even trying.
That just said.
So I'm really disappointed. The tagline for this is, you know, pitch soldiers against dragons. And I was really hoping for straight up, like, you know, U.S. Army versus, like, Monster Hunter style monsters.
Yeah.
And just like this is one of those games, like, no plot. Like, I need the Monster Hunter level of plot, which is, this is awesome.
A monster exists. We need it not to.
Read the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would love, like, I feel like that's the only way I could be, like, brought back into, you know, the Call of Duty series, is if they went just completely off the line and were like motherfucking dragons.
They weren't they? I guarantee you I saw a dragon in some mode of Call of Duty.
It seems like it'd be a zombie mode kind of thing, maybe.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Anyway, the other interesting thing is that the trailer seems to get a little bit of Death Stranding in it towards the end. There's like a river of blood and a tree that turns into crystals, and then the aforementioned, like, spooky Colossus things. Yeah. And no word on exactly what those are yet, but we will find out.
Looks like there was a dragon in one of the zombie mode matches.
Yeah.
Also, in another one, there is apparently Cerberus.
Excellent.
Yeah. Also, the aforementioned Colossus is Colossus number 8. Yeah. Is the salamander. Sorry.
Oh, man.
I didn't mean to.
Ben, you win by closest without going over.
I still feel like I've lost my edge.
It's just been a while since I played that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that is Project Awakening. Let's see here. Ben, speaking of Call of Duty and different modes, what is Blackout?
Yeah, so they announced this a while ago that they were doing a Battle Royale version with zombies. They released the trailer recently, and they posted what the map will look like. I think back in May, they said it was like, they quoted like a big number. They said it was like 1,500 times the size of Nuketown, which was one of their earlier maps. They posted
one of
the
their
map.
Smaller maps.
Yeah. So they posted the map now. It looks like they reused some of their old maps. So they have a Nuketown Island in the game. The map looks very similar to something like PUBG, where it's surrounded by water. It looks similar. There's, you know, like different areas. Like there's a asylum. There's a hydro dam. There's a construction site. So it's probably more similar to Fortnite, I guess, where there's like specialized areas that you can go to.
Yeah.
The other thing from the trailer that it looks like is they said before that they're going to have zombies in the mode. It looks from the trailer like they might be like in the fog. So like, instead of you just taking damage, I have if you stay in the fog, but I'm not entirely sure on that one.
Oh, so. That's brilliant. I actually really like that.
Yeah. I don't know if that's for sure or not, so don't quote me on it, but yeah.
Speculation.
I saw in I think the closed beta went live today, and I saw some high praise just in my brief time scrolling the news. The reviewer or previewer was very happy with the map's verticality. So much more so than in Fortnite, although Fortnite kind of has its own version of verticality. And certainly
verticality is what you make of it.
And certainly much more so than PUBG. Like it's a very vertical map and structures are very tall. You fly in on attack helicopters and kind of have a wingsuit when you dive out that allows you, gives you much more control over where you land. So basically they were making it sound like you can get to any part of the island very quickly on any crossing pattern for the drop. So much more control in that sense. And that's not necessarily new. Like I've played other games that you kind of can reach anywhere you want from the first drop. So that's not too out of place. And then also the like level of camouflage that everything has is very high. So visually, you know, everyone kind of dives in looking very camo-esque, very camoed up.
All ghillied up, you mean?
Yeah, all ghillied up. and so that, however, like they stated it as a positive, like, oh, you really got to pay attention and listen for weapon noises. To me, this is already a genre where you die from nowhere with no warning.
Yeah.
So to make that more probable is not, you know, something that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So,
and if you're playing in a squad, that's just like, you're just asking to turn this into a hunting accident simulator. Like,
Yeah, it looks like the way the map's set up is like the middle area is just a giant forest, but then on the outside, there's kind of more like deserty areas. Also, in the trailer shows one thing that's kind of interesting. There's like a grappling hook type gun. So that might kind of go along with the verticality that you're talking about. Somebody attaching it to a crane and flying upwards.
Well, I didn't realize I was looking some into this, despite my joking about it needing to be Monster Hunter. I didn't realize that the previous game in this series went straight up Deus Ex style.
Oh yeah, they've been doing like Future War for a bit.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I knew. What was that? I played Black Ops 2, which has some of that, but I didn't realize they'd gone straight like, you know, some of the characters are basically robots.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they even said it in the future as far back as like Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2, but it was like only supposed to be like a few years in the future sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But then like Advanced Warfare is when they like jump the future shark, I guess.
they went where everybody figured they were gonna go.
Yeah.
I mean they're running out of major world cities that are still intact.
It's like playing a game of Pandemic.
Yeah. So this is like of all of these, I'm gonna be charitable here and call them fast follows. Of all of these fast follows on the battle royale genre, this one I think actually could be addressing a need that people might have, which is for, you know, solid and fast and responsive shooting. In my limited experience with PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, I've never played Fortnite, but I understand the emphasis in Fortnite is, you know, very much on the building as opposed to like on, you know, crunchy ass, you know, snap and aim shooting. Having somebody with this tech and feel already existing walking into the space seems like it actually would be something people would want, as opposed to like, you know, just trying to manufacture the need for it. Right.
I'd agree with that. I am skeptical that they'll be able to achieve it when there's 84 players on a map at once.
Yeah. I don't know.
My plan is I'm not going to buy the game. I'm just going to visit my brother sometime in the fall and barter a Spider-Man 3 or a Spider-Man play exchange for a Black Ops play exchange.
What crushing billboard will be in the Black Ops map? That's the question. They should have a Maddie, will you marry me billboard. It'll be the new thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So are they charging full price for this since it does have a single player mode?
I didn't even know that. Black Ops 4 does not have a single player mode?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, I have no idea what the pricing is. It's 4.
Okay.
Yeah, you can tell by looking at the shield that has the 4. It's a Roman numeral. Well, not it's explicitly not nope. a Roman numeral 4. Fuck me. Yeah.
It's a Roman numeral if you were only taught the first three numbers yes. of the Roman numerals.
I mean, like, technically that is a way to count, like, as just a line for everything. It gets unwieldy very quickly. Yeah. Well, even okay, this would be a tally. Yeah.
IVX yes. for three numbers.
David, what is this AI story you've got?
Yeah, so there's a actually kind of a cool nonprofit in San Francisco called OpenAI that is trying to develop AI that won't kill us. And so they do a lot of interesting experiments and advocacy and stuff like that. But one of their recent experiments has been to develop a AI with curiosity and see how that affects its learning. So basically, they made an AI where instead of the kind of points or awards, it's trying to maximize being like, say, a score in a game or something like that. It's basically boredom. It's trying to minimize boredom.
Maximize novelty, possibly?
Yeah, exactly. But what they found is a couple of interesting setups. They did a lot of training with video games, and they found, for example, that when they pitted two versions of the AI against each other playing Pong, instead of actually playing Pong, they decide to see how many times they could hit the ball back and forth before it went out.
So they were trying to maximize a non-indicated number. So they were keeping track themselves of how many bounces.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say, instead of playing Pong, they actually developed a language. and that's why we all live in bunkers now.
Humanity was taken over by the Pongites.
Yep.
So the other thing they found is apparently there's some idea that, what's called, I guess, the noisy TV problem, which is basically the idea that something distracting in the environment will be distracting to something with curiosity.
Okay.
And so they had the robot run mazes, but then had a TV going that it was able to perform some action in the maze in order to change the channel. And apparently its performance in the maze is plummeted because it just got distracted flipping through the channels.
Oh, they're so, just like us.
Yes, exactly. So
human AI yet.
Yeah. So the basic message here is that even the AI will not be saved from itself.
Good. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Man, it's great to know that we can build in this just kind of inherent shittiness.
I'm a big proponent. Like, there's some idea that maybe a lot of the irrationality of people and emotions and those sorts of things are an inherent feature of intelligence.
Right.
Because I mean, if you look at like, an insect doesn't really seem to display emotion, whereas like a dog does.
Right.
So I tend to think what will potentially save us from the super AIs is that if we ever get to that point, they just won't be that different than we are.
Yeah, so we can just subvert them with weird cognitive biases and things.
With cat yep. pictures.
Yep. I mean,
and that's how the Pongites were defeated by the Law Cats.
Just give them Reddit to read instead of Wikipedia.
This version of War of the Worlds sucks.
multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. This time, Dennis, you asked the question. So what did you ask the nice people?
I did. Like, I have a lot of old favorite party games that I know I can rely on. You know, bust out Mario Kart 64 and everyone's going to be happy. So I thought I'd ask about what local multiplayer game from the current generation can fill that role. So basically newer games that are perfect to get out for a party.
Yeah. I will get us started here with Juan, who says, Nidhogg, the stick figure dueling game. Introduce alcohol and a few creative rules, and you have a wonderful drinking game. Yeah, Nidhogg is a very crunchy fighting game to play. Like, the inputs are simple, but yeah, it's very complex.
When they've come out with a sequel relatively recently that looks pretty awesome as well.
Yes, it's very different, though. There's a 3D aspect to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that if you drink enough, it becomes a very sloshy fighting game.
Crunchy sloshy. Oh, yeah. That's a good one, though. I wouldn't have thought of that. Ben, what does Lindsay say?
Lindsay says, I typically do not party, but if I did, Borderlands 2 would be somewhat acceptable. Since it's hard to find local couch co-op games, any more besides certain indie games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're not looking hard enough. See the below list. But yes. Yeah, Borderlands 2, I can see being fun.
Yep. Especially if you had characters rolled up so people could hop in locally, as opposed to having to go through the tutorial and stuff.
If you've gotten to the point where you're out of the story phase and into the murder hobo phase.
Yeah. I don't know. Like any of these multiplayer games that are like very dependent on a single player story. I remember, man, this is back in like high school or something. I had when I worked at GameStop and I was able to check stuff out, I was like, oh, X-Men Legends. That was like a really fun game, you know, to play just like a, you know, tap-a-tap-a button mash group Diablo thing. So, you know, brought it home and had some people over, and it was like the group I usually played Halo with, and we, you know, sat down with it. Turns out X-Men Legends, you have to play for like 2 hours before you can unlock single player. So that was bullshit, because I just wanted to like run around as Iceman zapping people while somebody else was Cyclops zapping. Everybody was going to be zapping people.
Yeah, I was one of those people. I remember that not working out.
Yeah, it sucked. Yeah.
All I wanted from the game was press X for a fastball special, and they didn't give it to me.
Being real bummed out with Smash Brothers Brawl, where you had to do like kind of the hour or two co-op game or single player game to unlock a bunch of characters.
Yeah. No good. I'm happy developers are getting around that. It's a good trend. David, what does Greg say?
Greg says, last time I hosted a party, Cole was 6 years old, but if I was to do one, I'd put a trivia game up. Anyone can play that, even folks who don't play video games, and booze will equalize people's IQ as the night goes on.
You really, I mean, you could go wrong with trivia if it's a kind of pop culture dependent trivia that, like, you know, hits a group's weak point, but like, I don't know. Jackbox is probably going to figure pretty heavily into this list, and that is a good thing.
Man, guys, not related to the show necessarily, but I've been playing Wits and Wagers recently.
Okay.
We got an office game of Wits and Wagers going, which is awesome. And it is such a perfect system, like the trivia game for people who don't really do well with trivia. Because you never have to worry about getting it exactly right. You just have to be good at kind of guessing about other people's guesses.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And that complaint that you lodged on the pop culture thing, I was like, I don't have to deal with that.
Nice.
The one I've really been wanting to do, sort of similar-esque in terms of being kind of an anti-game, but and feel free to judge me horribly, but is Steam keeps advertising Monster Prom, which is apparently a multiplayer dating sim, like a competitive dating sim, except crazy.
Is it? Oh, I've heard about this. This is almost like a yog or a werewolf kind of thing.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. God, Werewolf is so fun. I love that. I love that game so much. Like any like any of those variants that where it's just all about bluffing. Mm-hmm. I won a lying contest earlier this week at a freelance work thing, which was fun.
Wow.
What was the contest?
It was just it was
like weekly reports or something, or
I'm contract. I don't have to deal with that shit. No. No, it was
I'm just imagining like I've poisoned one of these glasses.
it was like a writing warm up kind of thing. We were going around a table getting ready for like a concepting meeting kind of thing, and it's like, yeah, you know, just like let's all tell lies of ascending absurdity, and we'll stop when people can't figure out if it's true or not. And I stopped on mine, so that's good.
See, nice. I feel like though if you live a crazy enough life, eventually that game breaks down.
True, but it wasn't like a would you rather kind of thing. Not would you rather, but never have I ever kind of thing. It wasn't that.
It's like I have a sixth toe.
Right.
I guess everyone's got a sixth toe. An 11th toe?
the trick for that kind of thing, this is not related to the topic at hand, but the trick that I'll give you is find the biggest possible thing that nobody cares about and then make up a lie about that. Yeah. But
I feel like that was in the Machiavelli's sequel, right? He's talked about that.
Yep. Yeah, it was domination for podcasters. So anyway, all that is to say, no shade on Monster Prom or any other werewolf style variant. Those are good games. Yeah. Dennis, what does Austin say?
He says, my friends and I always enjoy a good game of Dominion or Halo. So Halo being universally recognizable, but I had to Google Dominion because my first thought was the card game. But there's an outside chance he could be referring to Dominion Storm Over Gift 3 or the Dominion RTS series.
Yeah.
From way back in, 1998. I think he's talking about the card game.
That seems more reasonable to me, more reasonable of an assumption. I don't know if you could get the I don't know that I would call a 1998 RTS game a party game necessarily.
There's a full 8-player multiplayer mode.
Okay, yeah, maybe Austin and his crew are like really cool and old school and can do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Jack writes, the wow factor of the intricate courses of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, especially for those who fondly remember the original and N64 versions, but haven't yet experienced the newer offerings. It is a recipe for success every damn time.
Is that the... excuse me, I'm really sorry. Is that the...
your answer bores, David.
Yes. Chicken Riggies has been found wanting.
Now I feel awful. More awful. Is that the Nintendo Switch one?
Yeah. It's the one that we played when Jala was over.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one seems amazing.
It's very good. It's fun. Jack continues, I've also never actually played a Jackbox collection any way other than locally, so that's a standby when the crowd gets a bit bigger. Quiplash forever. God, those games are such a fucking treat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is amazing what they have been able to accomplish with the Jackbox, and the fact that they just continue putting out new packs that all have like at least one game that is completely essential.
I think it's really that they found something that people consider universally funny. Like everyone's got a different sense of humor, so it's hard to find those instances where like everyone is going to find this funny. And I think it's probably because so much of the humor alcohol. it's a game where the humor is in large part generated by the people playing, so they are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, and if you're playing with people that you would hang out with otherwise, then yeah, mm-hmm. you get good stuff. You're of like mind.
I just really hope that bald guy got some good royalty contracts.
No, Jack lives on a yacht for tax purposes.
He's a citizen. He lived in a box.
He's a
that was a very literal title.
Jack's box.
Yeah, you go down under the bridge, find Jack, and ask you questions.
Oh man, I want to play Jackbox now. We need to stop
Maddie,
before
will
I.
you marry me?
Maddie, will you?
Yeah.
Oh fuck, Ben. What does Allison say?
Allison says, "Lately, most of my best multiplayer party experiences have come from firing up Jackbox games, especially Drawful, Quiplash, or Fibbage. Everybody always has their phone, so it's easy to get everyone in on the fun."
Yeah. This
Yep.
has many likes.
Yeah.
For one of
This was
these.
going to be my answer before I read everyone else's, and it might.
I wish people were not so afraid of Drawful.
Oh no,
Yeah,
half the fun
really.
is stuff that gets massively screwed up.
What's that?
Half the fun is stuff that gets massively screwed up, like the
Absolutely.
drawings that are just no good.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, people, drawing is like cooking or math. There are some people who just say, "No, I can't do that." When, they just get self-conscious. They self-censor around it when they could have fun if they engaged with it, right?
I wish there was more time to draw on TKO. Briefly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
God, TKO just still has one of my favorite funny moments from all of Duck Feed when somebody did a drawing of Pikachu that just said "God is dead" over. It was very funny.
I own that shirt somewhere.
You do?
I do.
Oh, so does Sam. Sam owns that too. It's great. I saw it when he came down. David, what does Nick say?
Nick says, "I played Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes with my cousins recently, and they absolutely loved it. We did a round where we made it a little more movie-like too. I was in the basement on speakerphone while they were upstairs on the other line trying to communicate what they saw on the screen."
Oh yeah, if I played that game, it would definitely be done over intercoms or walkie-talkies.
See, I feel like that's the game I really want to come out with a whatever the Nintendo like cardboard things are called.
Oh, Labo?
Yeah, I want
Yeah.
them to come out with a Labo type version of that so I can physically hold the random bomb thing.
Yeah. I would very much like to play Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes with Jala specifically. I think that our rapport in needling each other would make that very we would blow up every single time, but it'd be very fun to stream. Oh man. Dennis, what does Sam say?
Sam says, "The only current local multiplayer I've really gotten a chance to play is Jackbox, which is always a great time. But my perennial answer will always be the current Mario Kart or Smash Brothers. In a small group of two or three people, playing through a single player game and passing the controller around is also great, but technically not answering the question."
So I really like the idea of low-key multiplayer.
Where you just play tricks on each other.
Yep.
Maddie, will you marry me? See, we're just gonna keep on using that. Like that, like just it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's original or funny. We're just gonna keep using it this episode and no longer. I mean, so it's still answering the question, I think, because there are current generation versions of at least Mario Kart, and then Smash Brothers is coming soon. Like that's it's not an original answer, but it's an answer. And don't discount yourself, man. Oh well. Noah says, "Feverishly awaiting the new Smash Brothers, but Overcooked 2 is holding up for now." I feel like I missed the Overcooked train. I saw them playing it on Duckstream last year, and it looked like a lot of fun.
Is that the one that's sort of the not exactly, but in spirit is kind of like Surgeon Simulator applied to cooking with friends?
It's like a very cutesy, semi-physics-based, top-down cooking simulator, where you play in increasingly ridiculous kitchens. The one that I saw that made my ears perk up was a kitchen that was split between two semis or two like trains that were running side by side. So like, the fridge was in what was in one, and the stove was in the other. Or the grill was in the other, and you had to like wait for them to line up so you could like throw the ingredient to the other person.
That's Cooking Food Network has to have had tried that at least once.
I mean, gosh, what's his name? Alton Brown on not Chopped or on the one show that I really like, whose name I forget. He's basically Loki. He's basically the Riddler. If he hasn't done it, it has solely been for budget purposes. He wants to torture people with food. Yeah. So let's see here. That was me. Ben, what does David say?
David says, "What's a party?" The most recent game I played at a social gathering was the Jackbox game. I feel like Mario Party, Kart, Halo, and Smash could work as appropriate group sizes and interests.
Yeah.
With appropriate group sizes and interests. Yep.
Yeah. Halo's good, especially if you have people. Like, so the biggest barrier to entry for Halo is, can you play a first-person game with dual sticks, right? Like, you would not be able to, like, I don't know, bring people in from your Toastmasters group or whatever and assume that they would be able to play Blood Gulch with you. Mm-hmm. But if you can get over that assumption, like, that's a fun game if you're not taking it seriously. If you are, fuck that. Yeah. let's see. David, what does Javier say?
Sorry, I was on a... The princess was in another tab or something.
That's fine. No, that's fine. I just caught you.
So Avia says, Rock Band 2, I dust off the old R2 unit, a.k.a. the 360, and plastic instruments, and let the good times roll.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My OCD nature would not let me play without spending at least 30 minutes calibrating the sound first, though. So.
Yeah. Well, that's why you do that before the people arrive. Just being a good host, you know.
No, I would doubt myself as the game started. I have to do it every time I play.
Yeah.
Really, like non-CRT TVs killed Guitar Hero for me.
Really?
Is it? I mean, well, it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but like the one I was super into was Guitar Hero 3, and I played that all on like an old, you know, normal ass TV.
Right.
And I played whatever World and Legends of Rock and you know, a little bit of Rock Band here and there, but I could never get into it the way I was.
Weird.
And I always blamed it on the nature of the TV I was playing on, because every time I missed a note, the nagging thought in the back of my mind was, the sound isn't calibrated. I never thought to question that when I was on the old TV.
'Tis a poor workman blames his tools.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Even if I knew I missed it, I couldn't get it out of my mind.
Knowing that it is under your control.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
it makes you think, oh, I didn't mess up now. I messed up 20 minutes ago when I set this up.
Correct. Yeah.
So lest people think that David was doing something frivolous when his attention wavered, understand that he was in another tab so he could share in the Slack this image of Alton Brown literally dressed up as the Riddler. Might be a Photoshop, but it is very appropriate.
That's
Thank
fantastic.
You. Oh, man.
What a national treasure.
Ah, man, Alton Brown's great. Let's see this. Dennis, what does Jonathan say?
He says, my teenage sons and I like to play Rocket League. Together has been a lot of fun watching them improve and work as a team doing callouts. Yeah. I am so freaking excited to reach that stage. Like it is a good 10 years away. I've got a decade, but I'm excited for that stage of life.
I mean, we'd be remiss if we didn't defer to the master here. Ben, have you played any Rocket League in person?
Yeah, I have. I actually honestly get frustrated by it because it's every time I've played it not on my computer, it feels different. And so I'll miss like shots that I know I can hit. And so I'm just like, I just want to be on my computer right now. This is like, I feel like an embarrassment.
Oh, man.
I lost a perk playing him in split screen. I could not handle that.
Not perk, no.
He said it's recorded forever.
I'm not going to edit that out.
Oh. No, leave it in. He needs to know.
Oh, man. So Alexander writes, you know what's a surprisingly good local multiplayer game? Her Story. Since the whole game is what if a search engine was a murder mystery, I have had lots of fun throwing that on the big TV and inviting my friends to shout out search topics. It got even more fun once I solved it on my own and could ask leading questions to keep the group discovering those juicy nuggets of FMV goodness. Nothing too obvious now. Certain revelations are what that game is all about.
Pro tip, the whole shout-out search topics game works well on her story. Not such a good idea on Google.
Or even YouTube.
Everyone, look how my browser auto-completes.
Oh, nobody gets to see that. That is that is both my treasure and my secret shame.
Yeah. But I will second this. I played a good portion of her story on the couch with Jen.
Yeah.
And we'd like to do that instead of watching a TV show.
You two have a little bit of a history of doing adventure games cooperatively too, right?
We do, yeah. There's only a couple. Like, we finished Machinarium together, and then we've started a bunch of others. Mm-hmm. But it's good times.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds fun. So when we're recording, you know, we post relevant links and sometimes images into our Slack channel. Our backstage that we have going on. Jella says, I can post weird images too. There's an image of a cockatiel trying to get into a Starbucks kind of cold beverage cup. Remember that feeling when you wanted something but weren't tall enough yet? That poor little cockatiel, which might be Rami. I think this might be a homegrown meme on Jella's part. It might be her cockatiel. Has the same colors. It is monochrome, but again, I just need to call these balls and strikes. Ben, what does Michael say, rounding us out?
Michael says, wait, friends? In person? I don't understand the question. Diablo 3.
His real answer is Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Again, you need to invest some time to get your murder hobos ready to go. Yeah. But I absolutely agree.
Yeah. Do you guys want to go kill some skeletons? Fuck yeah.
Always.
Oh, man. So an answer that I'm surprised didn't pop up, and I will put this in his mind, even though I haven't played it in a couple of years. I had a very fun time playing Sports Friends with you guys when you were down, specifically Barra Barra Ball and Johann Sebastian Joust. Very cool. And I would be curious to see if there is kind of anything else similar in the offing a couple of years down the line.
I have Move controllers now, although not four of them. Mm-hmm. So we could play at least a one-on-one, much more legit version of that. I'm going to have to go find that.
Yeah. Yep. Sports Friend is very neat.
So I think mine, I've actually overall, I kind of, am in the camp of, some of the people that were decrying the lack of, local multiplayer nowadays. But I think one that definitely has been hit, at least for me, is what we went with for the image for this. Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Very good.
We didn't say necessarily parties. This could be local multiplayer. So I still playing... Forge mode and Halo 3 as a deathmatch hack or whatever.
It's computerized Calvin Ball. It's great.
Yes, exactly. Is as a special place in my heart.
Yeah, it's very good. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I think I'll probably stick with Jackbox for like video games since it's so accessible. For if I have a board game to play like socially for a good time,
this is with the
right people. I would say Cthulhu Wars with beer is a really great quote unquote like party game. But that says some asterisks.
Is that a single title, Cthulhu Wars with beer, or?
I don't know. They make a lot of expansions for the game, so I would not doubt by the time this is posted that there could be a Cthulhu Wars with beer out. So.
Oh, and Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, the one that came to mind for me, oddly enough, enough also has a semi level, which is Gang Beasts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's like the wrestling grab and kind of ragdoll fighting simulator. And really any game, Rocket League gets at it a little bit, where the controls are going to be an equalizer.
Right.
Just like it is difficult, you know, to do what you're trying to do with the controls. And that's going to be part of the fun.
Yeah.
But Gang Beasts in particular has just led to more like shouting and in a fun way and hilarity than any other party game.
Nice. That's a good answer. Good answer. Floppy dudes. Floppy dudes. Yeah. So thank you everybody for participating in this. If you would like to get your answers in, then you can watch on Monday afternoons at facebook.com/TheLevelPodcast. We would love to hear from you.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. I'm going to break protocol, even though I usually go with somebody who was not here the last episode to start us off. Both Ben and Dennis, no, but both Dennis and David were not here. Sorry, I get you guys mixed up all the time. we had two D people.
You D people.
Yes. No, you're both absent, so I'm going to step in because I also don't have much to say, and also I have a question, Dennis. No. As a person who plays bass or has played bass in the past, how do you deal with a blister on your index and ring finger?
Specifically
on your plucking finger. I've got calluses on my fretting fingers. I'm just talking about doing finger style bass.
Yeah, so the same way you deal with
this if you don't.
Okay.
So my answer is the same way you deal with it when you are getting your fretting calluses while playing guitar, which is you bleed a lot.
Okay.
And then you get better.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if there was a trick other than just gut it out, which is also fine. It just limits my practice time,
what you need to do is go to exclusively slapping and popping, man.
Yeah.
And then you just got to worry about the side of your thumb and then your ring finger.
Go ahead, David. What do you got?
So a couple of suggestions. One is rubbing alcohol.
Before, after, or on top of, how would you apply that and when?
All of the above.
just have a cup of rubbing alcohol to dip your two fingers into.
Yeah, because you basically it'll kills off the first layer of skin and like causes your skin to develop calluses. Similarly, really, really strong green tea.
Apply it internally or topically?
Topically. Probably internally might help too, but
it's more of a general kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Ditda Jiao, which you can probably find online or your local Chinese apothecary. However, noteworthy of that one, do not do after you've broken skin. That stuff will jack you up.
Da Jiao, you said?
Ditda Jiao. Yeah. Okay. These are all basically ways for like developing calluses on like your hands for martial arts, but presumably they'd work for guitar.
Yeah. So the blanket answer seems to be ABD, always be debriding.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, so the reason that I bring that up is because the only real game that I've been playing recently has been Rocksmith, in order to just kind of keep my practice up. Also, I have been fucking around with custom DLC again.
Oh.
Just because for personal projects, I have wanted to kind of learn how to play in very particular kind of composer styles to figure out how to achieve a certain effect, and also to kind of expand my bass kind of rhythm and box vocabulary away from, you know, kind of the very limited scope that it was in. So yeah, hopped on Customs Forge and downloaded a bunch of stuff, specifically like a bunch of music by Akira Yamoka, like Silent Hill music, which has been very fun to pick up on both guitar and bass, and also you know, the usual suspects, the bands and artists that I tend to enjoy a lot of Eels and REM and things. But it's a very like unique experience, because when you just download regular DLC or play a song that comes with Rocksmith, it is very intentionally authored to kind of guide you up from low difficulty to high difficulty as you master certain phrases, either through repeating that riff or by, you know, just going through the entire song, missing notes and seeing things over as you play. However, a lot of custom DLC is just like, hey, we have just the mastered version of this, and fuck you if you're not ready for that. So like sitting down and saying, you know what, I really love the song Harbor Coat by REM, opening song on Reckoning, which is objectively the best REM album. You know, you sit down, you know, it's like, I want to feel for myself how Mike Mills plays bass, you know, especially in the early days of REM, and like, no, this is maximum difficulty and it's moving very, very fast. So I've been messing around with that for these past couple of like weeks, maybe, but, yeah, definitely have some nasty callous stuff going on. Usually the biggest sacrifice that I make in terms of my hands for my music is keeping my fingernails long to play finger style guitar. But, this is substantially more painful than that. So
that'll get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, how are you dividing your time now? Are you like 50% bass, 50% guitar? Are you all the way over, exclusively learning bass, or kind of where's your focus?
Honestly, it's whatever my energy and attention, has. So I'm just kind of like, let's say 50% either.
Cool. Yeah.
And also like, I'd be lying if I said that it wasn't motivated by laziness. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to tune this into like, okay, so every string down a half step, but also, drop D flat. Okay. Yeah. I don't feel like retuning that, so I might as well plug in my bass and mess around with that. Oh, I tune that to open C to play a Queens of the Stone Age song. Well, I might as well retune the guitar into something else. Fortunately, Rocksmith, you can sort it by tunings and stuff.
Does your new house have a live-in sound guy?
No, I don't have any roadies. I think that I would have to, I'd have to use some kind of gig economy service to hire a guitar tech to like, yeah, in between songs, like bring me a new guitar.
You haven't heard of tuner with no vowels and two R's at the end?
TNRR.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, Rocksmith remains great. Yeah. The one disappointing thing is like, because all of these songs have one particular, kind of author on them, from the charting kind of standpoint, like you can really tell like, oh, there was somebody who kind of like me likes REM songs, but really is just kind of interested in the bass part. So there's a bunch of stuff from the IRS days, you know, back before they went over to Warner Brothers, where it's like, you know what, I really only feel like making the bass version of this. So like, if I wanted to sit down and play Radio Free Europe, which has a very fun guitar part, no, only bass for you. Go to hell. not hell, because that's still a fun bass line, but like, I'd like to sit down. And that's also not a hard song. I can just play it by ear, but it's fun to, you know, earn points and get that percentage up and stuff, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Rocksmith is my thing. Any questions about that?
Do you have any calluses on your thumbs?
On my thumbs? Not really. Yeah. Other than the one that's kind of off to the side of my right thumb for, plucking bass notes on guitar.
Then it sounds like you could get and binge play Spider-Man then.
Oh yeah. What? Oh man. Okay. You just built a segue into this. Thank you, Ben. You have done my job for me. Hey Ben, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Spider-Man all weekend. Ah, it's pretty damn cool.
Tell me about it. You mentioned this coyly in the chat on Twitch, and I was like, ah, damn, he's going to talk about this, isn't he?
Well, I was curious to see if anyone else was, yeah, on the train or whatever, and I would talk to him about it. It's good. People are like praising it like it's the best game ever. It's not like it's, I would put it between like Arkham City and Arkham Asylum in terms of like it's good. It's like a solid video game adaptation. So let's get it's kind of like Grand Theft Auto. It's kind of like the other Spider-Man. Notable differences, they changed the swinging style from Spider-Man 2, which is kind of beloved by everybody. Instead of it kind of having like a high ceiling and of skill where like you can really competently swing by the end of the game, but you, like down at the beginning, they kind of made it so that it's like easy to do for anybody, but then you can't really do anything too custom. Basically they just take all the skill away for you and they just do it for you. So like if you're moving at any given point, they'll figure out you just hold down a button to be like in swinging mode, quote unquote. And it will find a web to shoot for you, and then it'll figure out like what trajectory it needs to be so that you don't run into any buildings in front of you.
Yeah.
And all you do is press a button to release that web and then get another one.
So it's about timing, timing on your parabola.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you want to choose to let go if you're at the bottom of the arc, if you want to go really fast forward, or if you want to go really high, then you let go when you're at the top of the curve or whatever to shoot off.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So the swing system's really good though. It's really seamless. It's like the way they do kind of custom animations like based on like how you're swinging, like all that looks really good. They do a good job of like making it so you can swoop down really close to the ground, and since they figure it out ahead of time that you know you're not going to hit it or whatever, and so they have like more vibration as you're passing by like cars and trees and stuff. So like they do a good job of like making that feel really good.
Hey Ben, does he do stunts?
Does he do tricks, little flips and stuff. I mean, you know, like he does some style stuff, like you can jump off a building, he'll do like a front flip thing, I wanted to bring that part up since that's kind of like the meat and potatoes of the game. That's how you get around and stuff. That's like, yeah, like 50% of the game is swinging around the city, so that needs to be pretty good, I guess. But the reason why you're swinging around the city is you're going from place to place. It feels very similar to a Grand Theft Auto type game, and then that there's a main path and you always know like what the main objective is, but then they'll populate each of the worlds with side quests. So maybe it's closer to like a Far Cry type thing, where you have to climb a tower to unlock the map sort of thing. And then they kind of slowly roll out the side quests that you can do in the map. I guess I just won't say what they are, just as to not spoil them or anything. But I guess it would be similar to like the Arkham games, you know, where it's like you can go here and do a penguin based thing, or you can go here and do it like a Riddler challenge or something like that.
Yeah, I don't want to know what villains are in this, or even if there are like alternate playable characters and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. All right, then I will hold that. So the game kind of fills out like that, where there's like a lot of different side quests you can do. It seems like similar to it reminded me a lot of the Arkham games, where it's like a lot of the characters that they have are kind of pay homage to like the comics and stuff, so they're characters you might not be familiar with if you've only watched cartoons like I have. So it's kind of interesting to, you see a character and then you can go and like look up more information about them and say, oh, okay, this is this person and they did this in the comics or whatever. So that aspect I liked of it. All the criticisms I have of the game are like very minor and like what we were talking about like before when David, you were talking about the people like shooting up like Times Square and stuff. Anytime like something triggers in my mind where it's like, well, this isn't realistic, then I'm like, oh yeah, wait, it's a comic book game. Like is just in spirit of the comic book. Like, yeah, like there's just going to be bad guys with guns for some reason who are looking for a payday or something, you know, like.
One thing that did bother me that I feel like is not in the spirit of the comics is, you know, it has kind of the Arkham City style, like build up your combos and do cool stuff thing. And, you know, mm-hmm. you have your instant takedowns, and one of them, you basically wrap your web around a dude's neck and break his neck.
I have not seen that.
He's technically still alive.
Yeah,
that is for the next few minutes.
Have you listened to? Okay, so have you read the lyrics to Metallica's "One"?
That is one difference in this game versus Arkham Asylum is he does kill people. Like he'll just like throw people out of a helicopter, and it's like, yeah, that person's probably dead. It's definitely different than Arkham in that sense. Like they don't try and make him save everybody, I guess. let's see, I forget what I was talking about. Yeah, what other questions you guys have about the game so far? I guess without saying anything about the main story seems it's good. They do a lot of good job with like character building and kind of like slow playing it, which I appreciated. It says that I'm like 50% through the game on the stats or whatever, so I'm guessing that I'm probably like 2/3 or 3/4 through the story, and then a lot of map stuff to do afterwards, if maybe. But they do a good job of like building the characters, and like it might be like halfway through the game before you're introduced to a new character, but then they'll be committed to like keeping that person around for the rest of the game.
Cool.
So yeah, so I've liked that so far. I'm trying to speak vaguely here, I guess. One thing that's kind of weird, and this is just like an odd thing, Jameson's kind of like Donald or like Rush Limbaugh or Alex Jones in this game.
Weird.
Yeah, like before I didn't really see them as, he was just kind of like close-minded in a funny way, not like a serious, like sad way.
Right.
Rough, but lovable.
Yeah. And then like this one, like it sounds very much like conservative radio type thing where he's like, you know, I've been saying it for years, like Spider-Man's like the bad guy and like no one listens to me. Hopefully people like change now after the blah, blah, blah. And it's, I don't know. So that was one thing that was kind of get me down in the game.
Yeah, but, that's a bit of a bummer. I haven't heard specifically how Alex Jonesy he is. However, vigilante justice is not a thing we should encourage.
Oh,
yeah, you know.
I guess, let's see, the only other minor thing, talking about the combat system that you mentioned, yeah, the combat system is very similar to Arkham, the Batman games, the Arkham games, where it tracks a combo. One difference is, like, there's kind of, like, two modes of combat where you can, like, punch somebody, uppercut them into the air, and then just punch them in the air a whole bunch, so it's maybe, like, a Devil May Cry or God of War type game or something. or you can just like punch people on the ground. They have a cool system where you can do a move where you shoot someone with a web and you immediately like close the distance on them and then like punch them. So it's a way to like get travel from person to person really quickly. And they have it, like it has a good amount of depth of like what you can do and the way you can upgrade it. So depending upon like how you upgrade it, like I upgraded my characters to that, like I can take away guns from people with the webs and then like swing it around and then throw the guns back at people. So I don't know. There's like, there's cool things
just
you can advance.
You're already killing people. Just start shooting them.
That's a good point. Yeah. he doesn't have any, well, I guess outside of the web neck finisher, he doesn't have any like murder moves in the game.
I thought you said he threw people off of buildings.
He throws people. That's like, that wasn't a cutscene and not like a, it's not a common like fighting thing that you can do.
Which is interesting, you can't, like, because I was just kind of looking at it, and apparently at one point they apparently were very emphatic that it wasn't going to be possible to like chuck people off buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess they got rid of that.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was thinking of, is one thing that you can do to kill people is if you like hit them in the air and then punch them towards like off a ledge, they'll just fall off, and that's like a pretty quick way to kill people. But yeah, I don't.
I'm sure they're all dangling from the side.
Yeah, sure. They caught some loose webbing that you have swinging, laying around the city. But they also have the cool mechanic too, where they have different suits that you can wear in the game, like different skins. And so some of them are like for example from the Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire, where it's like the wrestling skin or something like that, or just basically different art styles. But there's actual functional component to it where each one will have like a special move in combat related to it.
That's been around since the PlayStation 1 games.
Oh, okay.
Special skins with special powers.
Okay. I didn't know that, because I don't think they had like different skins in the Spider-Man 2 one, but maybe I'm misremembering that.
No, I would bet you dollars to donuts it's in there.
Okay. Okay, so then they continue to shred with this one. One of the ones that I have right now that I think is really cool is you can unlock like this like drone that is beside you and just like shocks people, and so it makes combat very, very easily, because apparently one of the upgrades you can get is if you have a shocked enemy, you can web swing that person around and hit other people with it, so it's like a 2-for-1.
Use him as a flail.
Yeah.
My name's Gale and I'm a flail.
I think my only small complaint with the combat system is there's the counter isn't as strong in this game as it is in like Arkham. Like if you counter somebody in Arkham, like that's a guaranteed like, okay, you're gonna be safe or whatever. The counter in this game is like a roll, like you roll away. And with a lot of the like ballistics, if someone's shooting something at you, it mostly works, like probably like 95% of the time. There's a few times where even if you dodge, like because like he has like a spider sense pop up, right? And so you can if the dodge button after that, a projectile still might hit you if you do it like too early, which is like a little bit frustrating. And then there's another one where there's bigger guys that you fight. Like there's like two, there's a regular size people and there's like big guys and they kind of like function a little bit differently. The big guys, you can press the counter and dodge and they can turn 180 and still hit you.
What?
So like if you don't dodge the right way, like it, you get like punished for it, which I was like pretty frustrated by. Especially because like it's sort of like being knocked down by waves in the ocean, where if that happens once, even if you dodge backward again, they can still close the distance sometimes and hit you again. And so you can just like die from that.
So you're like stun locked.
Yeah. So like that was a little bit frustrating. But that's only happened to, you know, it hasn't happened a whole lot of times. And again, you can kind of upgrade your way out of that situation eventually anyway. So yeah, so the combat system's definitely like serviceable. It takes a little bit before you kind of get the gist of it. Unlike Arkham, where Arkham it feels like there's pretty defined time to fight and like stealth like modes. Like it feels like you can't do one mode the other. Like this one is kind of fluid, where you can do either stealth or fighting, but it doesn't like explicitly change modes on you. So you kind of have to master both control schemes. So that takes a little bit to learn, like how to do both those things for me at least. But it definitely gets there, where it does seem like a pretty serviceable combat system. Nice.
How tied to the movie is it? Like, does Tom Holland do the voice of Spidey, or is
it? I don't think so. I think it's somebody else, just like a generic person.
Well, if it has throwback costumes to like the you know Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, that's interesting to me that they would acknowledge that universe.
Yeah, it seems like they just have like skins that kind of span. Yeah, because it's like there's comic book ones and there's like a bunch of ones that seem like one-off things where it's like this is what he looks like when he fought against this enemy in this one comic or something like that, where he has a soundproof costume or something. You know. I don't know.
At the very least, they are explicit that. In this game, he's been Spider-Man for 8 years. So this is a little farther along than the normal like origin story thing.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I like that decision. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Go through the death of Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the relations are already established, and there's a lot of kind of like callbacks. To like things that have happened like a year ago type thing. So yeah, you're kind of thrown in the middle of it. But yeah, I don't think it's beholden to any of the movie versions of it. I think it's more just extended from the comic books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know what else should I say about it. Do you guys have any other questions about the game?
No, I'm excited about this. Like, seems real cool to me.
I'd say probably put in maybe like 15 hours in it, maybe 15 or 20.
Cool.
I'd say I'm about 2/3 of the way through, so it's a pretty good size game, I think.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. Cool. I do have one brief other thing to talk about. I finished the Black the Fall game. It kind of continued to be a little bit frustrating for my liking. It's even though the art aesthetic is good like all the way through the game, so like I do give high praise for that. I was a little bit frustrated by the puzzle, and over the weekend I watched a video. It was the guy who made Antichamber, and he was talking about like the puzzle design in that game. One of the concepts he talked about that I thought was really interesting, where he's talking about how frustration isn't like a linear thing, where it's like if somebody quits the game here, it's because they were frustrated from this exact puzzle. It's like something that builds over the course of a game. So like he was talking about how important it was to just like eliminate frustration from games, like, and not try and look at player data when you're doing that. Just try and look at the game like holistically.
So it's not like, oh, this may have been the straw that broke the camel's back, but you were loading a ton of bullshit onto that camel.
Yeah,
you know, for several hours before that.
Yeah, and I got a lot of that with Black to Fall because it felt like a lot of times it was like, oh, I need to solve the puzzle exactly the way that you want me to solve the puzzle. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to lay too much like hate on it or anything because like I do enjoy the art style and I think I don't know. I think it's a cool idea for a game. It just felt like a lot of the puzzles weren't well like introduced or like the hints weren't good enough for how to solve them. Like, there's literally one puzzle I. And it was like I don't like I it was just like it was a mechanic that they have never taught you up until that point, and so it's like it was just like, oh, I didn't even know that I could do this, so yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, I guess that's how you solve it, but like I don't know, it's just there's a lot of stuff like that where it's kind of frustrating, but yeah.
I mean, like, so like that only gets like the art style only gets you so far. Like, that might be your ladder. You know, like, mm-hmm. yeah, like this is the thing that we're going to trade on. That ladder still needs to like lean against a wall. And if that wall is not, if that wall, you know, like the structure that you're leaning against the puzzles is not particularly strong, then yeah, and that's an issue.
It's tough to, there are some good puzzles in the game, you know, like it's not all bad. It's just,
yeah. Oh no, but it's enough to be like, yeah.
Yeah. There's like a dozen frustrating ones in there. And so, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, if you're really into art style of games, then that might be a good game to play through. or if like you, yeah. Or just like watching a walkthrough of it might be, you know, like interesting. Yeah. The other thing too is I think I completely missed on like the theme of the game. Cause like while I looked at the art styles, the game, there's like a credits menu thing and they show a picture of, I think what they were trying to get at with the theme of the game that I had not picked up on until they showed it. So I want to be vague to not try and spoil it, but that was something that kind of caught me off guard where I was like, oh, okay, the game's supposed to be about this. I did not know that. Huh. So that was one thing that was at least interesting that makes me want to kind of maybe go back and either play it again or think about it again or like read some interviews to see what they were trying to do with it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Cool. Well, David, I'm curious if you have been able to make any time for games in your move and such.
Sure. So a little bit. I picked up two sort of, you know, I guess semi-indie games, Cryptarch and what was the other one? Skyforce Reloaded. Skyforce Reloaded is kind of a generic like Galaga game or whatever. It's I guess kind of good. You're shooting people and trying not to get shot by people.
Okay.
There's not much to say about it. Cryptarch's really interesting because it's a game with some really great ideas and gameplay that just some of the design choices kind of drag it down. Kind of the basic plot line of it is you're a mecha salvage team crew that is salvaging these abandoned alien crafts that your job is to go out and clear out all the enemies and get to the AI core and destroy it so that then the mega corporations can come and plunder all the advanced technology.
Okay.
And it basically plays out as a twin stick shooter, but with a lot less just like straight up bullet hell and more of a tactical type of approach and some kind of strategic gameplay. So, you know, you're seeing the ship from kind of the cutaway position.
It's like it almost looked kind of Metroidvania-y.
Yeah, kind of. So you see the ship from a cutaway position and you have a map of, you know, where all of the different systems are, almost like a FTL type of thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of it becomes there's things where like, you know, one of the systems might be the alarm system. So if you attack any of the other systems that it's attached to, all of the enemies will instantly know where you are.
Okay.
Or, you know, similarly, certain systems design or attached to certain automatic defenses, things like that. So there's a big strategic element. And it really does kind of a neat job of, you know, the enemies are very fast moving, you know, relatively small, and a lot of your weapons are, you know, these super high rate of fire machine guns that almost becomes like a, you know, anti-aircraft flak cannon type thing.
Hmm.
So kind of has a unique feel. It, part of this is the visual design, but, you know, it reminds me a lot of like the scenes in the original Matrix movie where they're like trying to gun down the squid things that are chasing after their ship.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, in the sewers with the Nebuchadnezzar, yeah.
Right, exactly. So definitely has some really cool things. You know, has you know, a lot of risk versus reward in terms of, you know, you having to, you can take on more difficult ships and attempt to steal technologies to get new upgrades. The problem is, one, the controls just don't seem to work real well.
Mm.
I was playing it with the PlayStation controller, and one, it doesn't display the right button prompts, which is particularly problematic in that they both controllers have an X button and they do completely different things.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't seem like the precision on, you know, the actual stick of the twin stick that's doing your aiming just didn't seem to be where it needed to be. You know, I don't know if that's just a, you know, the guns needed higher spread or maybe a little bit of auto aim or what it was, but just didn't seem to work. The other thing is, you know, when you're going into these missions, all of the ammo and weapons you equip and stuff like that all have a cost associated with them. And, you know, if you die, you, one, don't get paid, and two, there's like a rescue fee. Mm. And they basically make it into a roguelike game. And that just, it... One, it's just incredibly difficult.
Well, and also, you are like constitutionally opposed to roguelike indies, right?
Right. Although in this case, I would say, like, I think based on like the actual, like based on its own terms, I think it's a problem. It's the thing where you start the game with about enough money for you know, two failed runs.
Okay.
And
oh, so you can just completely fuck your save.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's a thing where you know, I, for, without being stupid in terms of let me back up. You start out with, I want to say, something like 500 credits. And without being stupid about what I upgrade myself with in terms of being like, you know, what if I don't, you know, bring any health packs, you know, those sorts of things, without doing that, I would say I used in the neighborhood of 200 and change and would get about, 30 credits profit. So it's just, the math is just really messed up.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, it just, I don't know. It's definitely like, if you can make it work for it, for you, like in terms of the merits of the actual gameplay, I would strongly recommend it. Yeah. It's just the roguelike elements don't seem to have been balanced quite right.
Yeah, the meta. I also didn't bring up you being sensitive to roguelike elements in games to like discount your opinion about it. Like,
oh yeah.
No, yeah. No, like bad no. balancing is bad balancing. I just want to make sure you weren't, you didn't think I was like typecasting you on the show.
No, no, totally. I mean, generally I'm typecasting myself on this show. No, that's totally fine. I'm trying to think. Other than that, I've been continuing on with Fallout 4. Trying to think if there's anything else, you know, anything that's been particularly noteworthy about it. I'm currently adventuring with a guy that the only thing I can find to build faction with him is he apparently likes it when you steal things, and I'm kind of I'm kind of learning how just random and nonsensical the theft system is.
Right, right.
They basically set it up as it, like whether or not you can steal something isn't so much based on whether an item has an owner, so much as is if the area you're in has an owner. So like if you go to any of the cities, taking things out of the dumpsters is considered theft.
It's been a little bit fucked up like that for a long time too. Like if, you know, in the final dungeon of Fallout 3, you stole something from the Enclave, it didn't really care that the Enclave were bastards who wanted to destroy the world. Like it still counted as theft because there was an owner attached to it. Like it's kind of a weird, bad system.
Right. And they've at least, they got rid of karma. So there's at least that yeah, as long as your current companion doesn't care, it doesn't matter.
Nice.
So, and it's, the difficulty is still a little bit unfortunate because, you know, I'm now at the point where it's very, off or on. Either I can just, you know, mow through enemies on the hardest difficulty, or you get to like a boss and it's just an incredible bullet sponge.
Yeah.
That's, you know, not really what the game's about.
It's, and it's never been good at that. Doesn't excuse it, but it's never been. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They do have, unfortunately, a really big problem with their hitboxes on terrain.
Oh, so if you have line of sight, but the hill exerts a right of geometry, then it will stop your bullets from hitting them, or...
It's, you know, it's some of that, and I can't tell. It sometimes feels like, you know, maybe they don't do quite normally. You know, most games you're actually shooting out of your character's eyes effectively. So that if you're standing behind a waist-high gun or wall, you're not constantly hitting it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels like that's a little weird, but the biggest thing is if you're trying to do any sort of like say you're kind of approaching a doorway sort of catty cornered and you know trying to shoot through it, or like the pipe railing thing on like an overpass, like trying to shoot between that, like anything like that, shooting through certain windows, it'll just randomly stop your bullet.
Weird. So they just like literally didn't tune for the corners.
Right. And it's especially frustrating because my character is basically, built around stealth. So when that happens, it's like, well, guess I have to reload.
Blech. Yeah, because you gave up your position. You're no longer skulking.
Exactly. Yeah. Always be skulking. Other than that, I do have to say the robot automaton expansion they made, I really enjoy because it basically lets you have a companion that you can take any of the chunks from any of the robots in the games.
Oh yeah,
and build them.
Cool.
So you can have like the Assaultrons, which are kind of the like, sort of Terminator-esque like female biped robots. Can have like that torso on the like three-tracked leg thing of the Sentry bot.
Yeah.
And say like the arms of a Mr. Handy like buzzsaw thing, if you want.
I always thought Mr. Handy sounded somewhat pornographic.
Yeah.
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 No,
even as a kid.
I don't know. for a loose definition of always, yeah. No, I never fucked around with the automation. Expansion. Sorry, I didn't mean to like stop in the middle of that sentence.
No problem. Yeah, it's really quite flexible. The only thing that's a little bit too bad is the robot doesn't really have any isn't programmed to have any particular personality, so it won't really, comment on, the places you're going and stuff like that.
But also won't judge your actions.
Right. Exactly. I do love the way that they have, so the dog meat is the only companion that just like none of your actions affect your standing with them.
Right.
I do love the fact that the way they state it is that dog meat loves you unconditionally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like dogs do. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. I will direct all of your attention to the Slack where I have posted a meme. It is an edit of an XKCD, not XKCD, Cyanide and Happiness Cyanide cartoon. And happiness. Yes, yeah. Where a bunch of people are arguing about whether or not Fallout 76 is going to ruin the series or whether or not it has been ruined many times in the past. But all of them gather together around the fact that Country Roads Take Me Home is a wonderful song. So there we go.
I do have to state though, because I am a curmudgeon, like some of the things they're saying about Fallout 76, I hope is just marketing stuff. Like I hope they can't possibly be that naive.
they can't expect that this is going to work. Yeah, I didn't want to put forward an opinion about Fallout 76. There's no world in which I don't buy and play it, but sure. Yeah, that was just a very fun
yeah,
comic.
No,
that was
no, I,
that was
I, completely yeah
I agree. Anything else, David? Was it just Cryptarch with a K at the end and Fallout 4?
Yes, I believe so, although probably Dennis and I are going at least a little bit tag team some stuff, but
hey, that sounds like a segue to me.
Yeah. So we hung out and we went to like a board gaming cafe in New York, called Hex and Company. This is similar to the Rook in Cincinnati for any of our locals.
Cool.
And chose Star Realms as our game of choice while we were hanging out there.
So Dennis, what is Star Realms?
It is a two-player versus card game. It's a deck building game where you start out with a very weak fleet of ships, and then you draft both ships and star bases from a shared pool of resources. So there's always five cards available to draft, and if you pick it, your opponent can't pick it, and vice versa. And you kind of go back and forth in turns building your deck and then playing cards from that deck, trying to do damage enough to kill your opponent.
Hmm.
Yeah. I feel like the kind of the real unique thing of this is that you're both drafting and playing at the same time. So you're kind of playing the continuous evolution of your deck.
Yeah. That kind of threw me off when you said it was a deck drafting game, because like, isn't that something that takes place before anybody shows up to a place with tables? Yeah.
But it's got, if you play Dominion, you kind of have a feel for this, although Star Realms is much more straightforward. I thought, David, you can tell me what you think. I thought it was really easy to just sit down and pick up. And there's kind of a lot of depth and different approaches you can take. you know, starfighters tend to have more powerful effects, but they only stay for that one round. Star bases are not maybe as immediately powerful, but they are persistent. So once you play them, they stay on your board until your opponent kills them. And they all have different effects that play on the several different factions within the deck, or several different conditions that might happen, that allow you to either get more currency to draft more cards or deal damage to kill either bases or your opponent.
Right.
And I think we should also say one of the kind of unique mechanics of it is as either, you know, at the end of turn with your starfighters or as they're destroyed with your bases, the cards basically go back into your deck. So you're, you know, continually cycling through your deck. However, there's also an interesting mechanic in that a lot of the cards you can basically permanently destroy in order to get some sort of effect. So often that'll either be like, you know, a large amount of, you know, money or, you know, the ability to draw new cards or instantly buy a card, things like that, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
So how exactly does the drafting work? Do you guys have like a common deck that you're pulling from and it's like draw 10, pick 2 or something like that? Or
yeah, there's a deck of 80 cards and 5 are on display at any one time. And as people buy cards from the 5 on display, you immediately replace it with new cards. Okay. And so when you buy a card, it goes into your personal deck. But then you would not, you know, you wouldn't pull that, or it goes into your personal discard pile. And then the next time you shuffle your personal deck, those cards will get mixed in. Certain conditions would allow you to buy a card and put it on your, you know, your draw pile instead of your discard pile, kind of immediately getting into play. There's also, like I said, there's factions. And if you play two cards of the same faction together, there's like bonus effects. So it was really cool and kind of this...
Sure.
So, you know, I was keeping track of health for us, and we kind of stayed neck and neck until the very end where David had a huge turn.
Yeah. So just real quick, sorry, with the draft mechanic, one of the other things is that you can only buy on your turn, so you're never directly buying at the same time. And the other thing is all of the money you earn, you know, basically disappears at the end of the turn. So it's not, you know, it's not a resource you can really bank, which also, you know, kind of makes an interesting feel to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know at least for me, kind of my strategy was, you know, I went for any card that let me, you know, draw more cards and then also really focused on the bases. And I think eventually I just, you know, got a number of bases out, and then I got a base that for every starfighter I played dealt 1 point of damage. And so I just basically, like, sicked all of my mining ships on Dennis.
But since he had all the draw mechanics, like, every playing starfighters was drawing cards and dealing damage, which gave him more starfighters to... draw cards and deal damage. So
he created a self-perpetuating Dennis defeat machine.
For reference, your starting health pool is 50 points, and okay. I think your final turn, David, was like 32 points of damage.
Jeez. Was that the big turn you were alluding to, Dennis?
Yes, that's the turn.
Okay.
But yeah, so that was fun. That was Star Realms. I know there's an expansion pack. There's an alternate set of rules that allows you to play with more than two people, but I think you have to have extra decks of cards. Am I remembering that right? Or maybe you can do it with just the one deck.
I love their actual rules for it, because for the, there are some like variants, but for the most part, the rules pretty much straight up, like in as many words state, the rules for playing with multiple people are the same as playing with two people. Like, it's basically just, you know, you can decide who you want to attack. It's the only difference.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. So, yeah, check it out. I think the funny, it's New York. We paid, I think it was a total of $20 to hang out, like to have a reserved table. And I looked up the game afterwards, and it's like, you know, $17. So,
You know, you also had the venue and a place to be, and
yeah, it was a cool spot. There was someone behind us playing the X-Wing miniatures game, which I've never seen in real life before.
Yeah, apparently, even better playing it with, like, I don't know, like a 10-year-old or so, someone who is old enough to be at like optimal loves Star Wars age. But yeah, my understanding, I wasn't really paying attention to him, but I had a friend who was really into it back in the day. My understanding is one of the weird things of the miniature game is like it's actually like you have to play with the miniatures on the board because it's straight up like, you know, you can attack anything that's say like 3 inches away, and you literally like any miniatures that are within 3 inches, like it's not grid based or whatever.
So it's like a game you play with a compass.
Yes. No, literally they were playing with these little plastic rulers. Some were straight, some were like in a curve pattern that like, when you say, okay, I want to pull a tight turn, you get out your tight turn ruler, set it on the front of your ship, and then pick up your ship and set it on the other side of the ruler.
Yeah.
So like there's no board. It's just measuring distances with your starfighters.
Which, to be fair, is probably the most accurate, you know, simulation of space.
yeah, really, really cool. I mean, while still being completely two-dimensional.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
So
that friend who played that back in the day, was that Kyle, David?
No. So this was actually one of the guys I did steampunk stuff with.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like a thing Kyle would do.
Sorry. Yeah, Kyle was super into, you know, if we're ever in the like 80s plotline of, you know, we need to, you know, fight the aliens and all video game skills apply, like he's the person I want to fly our X-Wing.
Yep.
Nice.
Continue. Sorry.
Yeah. So yeah. Go ahead.
So, okay. So kind of, I don't know, I guess this is a question for everyone. You know, one of the things I was wondering from this is, you know, I know, you know, the game, you know, in some ways, you know, reminded me of like Munchkin in terms of, you know, having a lot of the mechanics be kind of, you know, subverting the other players, you know, moves and those sorts of things. And similarly, you know, had, you know, the deck building mechanics, stuff like that. Are there any like databases or search engines or something like that online where I can take like all the board games and be like, these are the mechanics I like, and like show me games that have this mix of mechanics?
So Board Game Geek's kind of like Steam for board games, where they have tags of like empire building or blah, blah, blah. And you can search games based off of that.
Okay.
Yeah. So check out Dominion, dog. it's a good one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So that was Star Realms. I also got to play Mansions of Madness again with my family.
Nice.
That was another really incredible experience. We played Escape from Innsmouth.
Nice.
And we wound up losing. But everyone still had a great time.
So is that you died or you became fish people?
Or you were always going to be, you were always going to become fish people.
we had one of our members die, or at least be, you know, so close to dying that we're like, okay, there's no way we can salvage this. I guess we lose. And that, you know, if someone dies, you have one round to finish the game, and we had neglected to pick up a key character that we needed to finish the scenario. And that's all I'll say. But the best part about it was two of the players, actually my mother-in-law and father-in-law, both went insane, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And when you go insane, you draw from a pile of insanity cards.
Oh,
and
you get special rules.
You get special rules that sometimes are just like very, you know, not going to affect things much at all. Sometimes they completely change the rules for how that player wins or loses the game.
Yeah.
So for example, my father-in-law got silence, or I forget exactly what it was called, but basically he was immediately not allowed to talk anymore. And so we're like, what do you want to do next? Why are you, what do you want to go do? And he was like gesturing and stuff. And it took us a second and then we pieced together. Oh, that's like, and not like not knowing exactly what the contents of all the insanity cards are. It was like really delightful for people like, oh, that's the kind of thing that's on the table. Okay. Holy all crap. Right. Like,
yeah. That changes our ability to navigate this.
Exactly. And then my mother-in-law got the insanity condition where she personally would lose the game if we finished the game without her checking every explore token on the board. So it was like kind of almost like a kleptomaniac or like insatiable curiosity. Like she had to explore everything.
Yeah. Like compulsion. Yeah,
exactly. which led to her kind of wandering off to a different area of the board while we were like marching towards the finish.
But we need and to do this.
Yeah. It got to this point of betrayal where it's like, we got to go. Let's get out of here. Screw you, essentially. And she's like, no, we need to stay. We need to check stuff. And then we tried to leave. And that's when we realized we didn't have the character that we needed.
Oh, no. Like,
oh, shit. We completely forgot about getting so-and-so. Holy God, how did he? And then she's sitting there just like, you guys left me to die. Now you can't leave. Like, but now everyone loses. So there.
Oh, that's great. I love that. It's amazing that your family, your in-laws, were already so down with it that they wanted more, but like they went whole hog into like, well, this is just how we're playing it now. Like that
it was fantastic.
That is immeasurably cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I said it on the show before, but it's like, it's so crazy to me that like, this is the thing after a dozen years that like we're bonding over. Like,
yeah.
Just that board games were sitting in front of us the whole time.
And also, it's not like you guys had a terrible relationship before.
Yeah, but it's like we've all found this thing. Everyone's like, oh, we're all super into this. Like,
oh, cool. Yeah.
No, I had a great relationship with them the whole time. Just like this is the thing.
which board game is that? Just so I can make a note of it.
It is Mansions of Madness Second Edition, and it's important because that's different than First Edition. This time around we were a couple people short, so we played it with four players and I played a character in addition to running the app.
Okay.
And last time I had recommended and said like definitely play it with someone being the app manager. Mm-hmm. Like exclusively. That was while we were also learning the game, so this second around, once we were all familiar with the rules, it was manageable for me.
That's good.
I think I could have still had fun just playing the app manager only role. Mm-hmm. But it feels way more achievable this time around than it did last. Yeah.
You know, the rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's Mansions of Madness, the other board game that I've been playing, And so I know that several people in the family are super duper into Lord of the Rings, and the core rulebook for the One Ring Lord of the Rings role-playing tabletop game was on sale at Humble Bundle.
What?
So I've bought and started reading that.
You're going to get your in-laws into like straight-up tabletop role-playing?
Yeah, I floated the idea. So we'll see if it happens.
Oh, will you succeed or will you be like Icarus flying too close to the sun?
Roll a d20 and find out.
DC so, 19, my friend.
Yeah, right. Well, it's called TN, target number in One Ring.
For fuck's sake, come on, man. Don't actually be on that.
Yeah. So there's a lot more mileage to get out of Mansions of Madness, which is technically borrowed from a friend. So I feel like at some point we're just going to buy this game for ourselves.
Oh yeah.
Because everyone was jonesing to like replay the session that we lost.
Oh yeah.
So the next time we get together, we're just going to do that same story. So
yeah,
there's probably a year's worth of content easily left in Mansions of Madness.
Oh, that's great.
But whenever we get around to being done with that or are feeling something different, who knows? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, now that was like my vacation reading was a rule book. That's the other thing I've made peace with myself is I like reading rule books. Like I've always known
about
instruction manuals, but rule books are just, man,
welcome,
great, good stuff.
Welcome to the club, my friend.
Yeah.
Like I read monster I read monster manuals before breakfast, come on.
Yeah, so that was my vacation reading was the core rule book, and then the Humble Bundle had like literally every other piece of material associated with the game.
Nice.
So I've got like all the I guess expansions, adventure paths, whatever you want to call it. It's wandering around in my mind. I don't mm-hmm. know when I'll use it, but it's been fun to read.
Awesome.
So I guess I should talk about a video game, right?
Maybe.
No, I have been playing Ratchet and Clank, the reboot of the series for PS4 that went alongside the movie. And man, is that a trip down nostalgia lane.
Oh, yeah.
Like it is, I played those games in grade school, and particularly the first one, which is a remake of, loved it to pieces, played the hell out of it, saw every nook and cranny, 100%ed, you know, whatever you want to call it. And to go back to those games and see them faithfully recreated with some of the rougher edges sanded off, not just graphically, but like controls and upgrade systems and all that stuff, is really, really freaking cool. Hmm. So it's, you know, I'm going back to all the planets that I remember. And it's the thing where it's been long enough since I've played Ratchet and Clank in any form that I don't have recall memory. I have recognition memory.
Right.
If that makes any sense. Like if you ask me to describe the next level, I would have no idea. But when I see it, there's that ping of like, oh my God. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
it's this. Oh,
that guy shows up. Yeah. Or that weapon. Yeah. Which is just a great feeling. Mm-hmm. The cool thing though is that it's a bit of a hybrid remake in that in addition to the very faithfully recreated levels from the first game, they've also woven in weapons and certainly the upgrade system from the much more modern games.
Yeah. Well, they've been around with time travel for a while too. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, I hadn't thought about if they would weave that in. I don't think they will. But yeah, time travel has been a part of the game for a minute as well. But yeah, so I've got all these kind of the weapons that I know and love and remember, and then the weapons that are kind of newly introduced that I know weren't in the original game. And they are all tied to a very fun upgrade system. Basically, it's a hexagon board, with each hexagon representing some small upgrade, mm-hmm. but then there are surprise nodes where it's just question marks. There's either one or like a grouping of two or three. And if you completely surround that with the other upgrades, it will give you a big upgrade, which might be like, hey, you're allowed to shoot two of these persistent effect items at once now or something like that. And that's fun because it just gives you a very natural place to like go next towards your upgrades. You're always working towards something more than just the next 5%. You're working towards a much bigger, more verb affecting upgrade, if you will, as well.
Nice.
So that is good. That I can tell, the game got a new starting level, so that's been completely replaced. And then I just finished playing a planet that I don't remember, mm-hmm. and has some areas that feel like they'd be really advanced for the beginning or for, you know, the first entry in the series. So I think it is a completely new planet. But it's one that gives you the grind boots and the jetpack, which are two very, you know, prominent items in the first game.
Yeah.
So I don't know yet if they replaced an original level with something new or if this is like a twist on a level that I don't remember.
Yeah.
But they are adding a lot of new content to the remake. So it's not just a recreation. It is a true kind of reboot of the game.
Yeah. Are you playing this with your kids?
I am not. I'm still playing No Man's Sky with the kids.
Okay.
Which, oh my God, I felt like a horrible human being. So in No Man's Sky, you get quests now and that gives you extra units. And I had a quest to kill a certain number of creatures.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, it's completely nonviolent. And the thing they love about the game is being able to find animals and scan them and learn their names. Like that is what they get into. And I was like, okay, guys, we're going to go hunting. And they were mortified.
Why would you do this, Daddy?
The worst part was one of the animals was like this.
Was discovered by them.
Well, named after them.
No, it was like a tiny, cute little rat creature and running around in like a pack. And there were very clearly like baby versions of it. And I'm like, got parents in front of the kids. I just want to get the nanites, but I, you know, and it was like, I've got like five animals left to kill. I can knock this out real quick. They won't even notice. And I need to sit them down and have a talk now.
No, you could use this as an opportunity to teach them character. You know, that little boy from Old Yeller, think about how far ahead he is, you know, that he had to go out back and do what needed to be done. You know,
we use every part of the Mordite from this animal.
Yeah.
I promise. Don't let them know I just went and sold it on the Galactic Network. That would be a mistake.
Kids, sometimes daddy has bills to pay.
Yeah, well, then we got into the Seminoles, the Sentinels on the different planets, and
okay,
why don't they like it when you shoot the animals, and are you the bad guy? And,
right.
So it was a surprise parenting moment to deal with there.
Yeah,
but so that's their primary one. Ratchet and Clank they would like because it's colorful and cartoony and everything.
Yeah,
there's just a lot of shooting. They don't need any more encouragement. Everything's a gun already. So
yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
It's weird. Like, I've never been so sensitized to how many games just have that much violence in them.
Yeah.
Like just trying to find it. It's like, oh, I could play this game. That's got beheadings. play that game. Oh wait, no. There's definitely like an overkill system in that, and it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're not being a prude. It's just, yeah, you know,
I wouldn't beat myself up if they watched me play Ratchet and Clank. They'd probably get less questions on that than in the hunting incident.
Right.
It's just they like No Man's Sky right now, and it's more fun to talk about the animals and the plants and going into space. You know, I shoot down pirates in No Man's Sky, no problem.
Right. Well, they were bad people doing bad things.
Yeah, well, and what I'm trying to teach them is that if you can distance yourself and dehumanize the enemy into a machine, then it's okay to kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you given them little puppies to raise and later kill yet?
No, playing Old Yeller doesn't take effect until they hit age 5.
Right.
So that Ratchet and Clank has been just for me.
Okay.
It's been so enjoyable and kind of pinging back to the grade school memories that I didn't know I had.
Nice.
So that's been my gaming. My PC is kind of still literally under wraps as construction in our house happens, but I'm kind of jonesing to get back to Overwatch and all those kind of more perennial favorites on PC.
Nice.
But I'm having fun kind of exploring my PS4 backlog as well.
Nice.
And that's me.
Cool. Well, how do you all feel about buttoning it up?
Buttons!
Yay, enthusiasm. The credit. Thank you so much for listening to episode number 257 of The Level. We appreciate you taking the time. You know the usual stuff you can do. I don't want to waste your time with that. However, a new thing, maybe watch my personal Twitter here in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch that, maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah, like everybody in the chat knows what I might be announcing. However, you listening, maybe you don't. But for The Level, for us, iTunes, ratings, reviews, Patreon, things like that. It's been a bit of a longer episode, so why don't we just go to the end here? I have been Cole Ross. You can find me at Cole Ross on Twitter, KOLEROSS.
I've been Dennis Furia, and you can find me at GreenLaser73 on Twitch.
My name's David Mysmith, and you cannot find me.
It's not a challenge, it's a declaration.
You're still scared I'll kill him.
I'm Ben Merkel at MerkelB on Twitch.
Cool. And stick around for some titles.
So I've got a number of titles, although first a quick disclaimer, feeling a little guilty, you know, near the beginning, blamed the economic crash on Republicans. I feel like there's enough greed and inhumanity to, you know, cross party boundaries. But anyway.
No, that's fine. Don't worry. Democrats suck too. It's fine.
Fair enough. So I had probably my favorite, actually, although I feel like we might need to figure out a way to trim it or something, is Shotgun Wedding and J. Jonas Jameson's holding the gun. And then I had the Murder Hobo phase, Loki multiplayer, My Treasure, My Secret Shame, Always Be Debriding, timing on your parabola, and always going to become fish people.
Always going to become a fish people. That's a lot. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, this was a title-y show because I've got a bunch as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have time to underwear.
Okay.
Rip the bummer.
What was that? Band-aid,
rip the bummer.
Okay.
So like rip the band-aid when we were talking about the sad story up front.
Right.
Hunting accident simulator. crunchy sloshy.
Is there a comma between crunchy sloshy?
I did not have it stylized that way.
Okay.
And then Gail the flail.
Okay. All right.
We have no repeats so far.
Yeah.
I know. Crazy.
I have always be skulking. I have that's when the pants come off. And I have Maddie, will you marry me?
Okay. So we do have a repeat here. I have three. I have that's when the pants come off. I have Jack's box. And also I have no, that's got beheadings. So if we go by repeats, we would have that's when the pants come off. What's that, Ben?
I said this is difficult.
Yeah.
So I would say in terms of prominence within the episode, it's definitely Marry Me, Maddie, or if we didn't want to direct quote it, that would be where I'd pull in the shotgun wedding, although all of these were amazing.
I do like the shotgun wedding, but that's hard to stylize.
J. Jonah Jameson shotgun wedding.
Yeah, or I didn't know if, one thing is J.J. Jameson would probably be, appropriate, but yeah, whatever, yeah.
I think if we're gonna lean into the we're using it for this episode and then never again, we actually make it the title, the Maddie, will you marry me?
Okay.
Just lean into the meme.
Yeah, I mean we talked about leaning into it so much.
Yes.
are there any vocal any vocal oppositions to Maddie, will you marry me? Ben is a vocal opposition from you.
That's as much of, that's as confrontational as we'll get on this podcast.
Yeah. What are you rooting for, Ben? That's when the pants come off.
I can't even remember. What was the last one you had, Cole?
The last one I had was no, that's got beheadings.
I don't know. There were just a lot of good ones. I'm fine. I'll back down. I'm fine with whatever you guys want.
Okay.
There's an abundance of riches of titles. This
yeah.
Week.
This is like I said, this was a title-y episode.
Yeah. There's so many of them. And we talked like something in the favor of Maddie, will you marry me? Is that we like, this is the episode where we give like first 15 hour impressions on Spider-Man. So that yeah. like that is identifiable at a first glance.
I think it's good.
This will be like well. The Harlem Shake of the podcast. Yeah, yeah. It'll be a fad for 1 week.
But I think there will be a good amount of joy when people pull up the episode and see the title, and those who have been reading will instantly recognize what it's from and get a laugh out of it. So yeah. I can appreciate it from that standpoint. I also think, again, just from a verbal nonsense 2 years later when we're reading back through titles, it stands on its own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And also, all right. like, you know, a thing to be said is, like, when we have this many, like, this diversity of, like, laugh lines from the episode, like, not giving away many of them, but give, like, having something that is identifiable, but also becomes its own joke within the episode.
Pick the one that we grind into the dirt.
Yeah, yeah. and that way it can be put to rest so we don't do it again. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I'm going to go. I've got some clothes in the dryer that I need to take out, but I'm going to go to bed.
All right. Good hanging out with you guys. I always am super happy.
This is very fun. All right. Take care, everybody.
Peace.
Bye.
All right. See you guys. Have a good week.
You too. Bye.